I want you to see what David did at his darkest hour, where he faces all of this sorrow and all of this loss. And I want you to see very simply four things that you can do if you should face great darkness, when you should face great darkness, when you are confronted with sorrow and loss in your own life.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we probably have some people listening today who can identify with David. They're feeling like he did. They're feeling that sorrow and that loss. What do they do?
Yeah, we're looking at the story of the darkest day in David's life, where he gets evicted from his own home. He gets pushed out of the work that God has given to him, which is to be on the throne as the king, and he walks his way up the Mount of Olives. It's a tragic picture. So here's what comes out of it for us today. The four things you can do on the darkest day of your life. Number one, weep. Number two, trust. Number three, pray. And number four, worship. That's the four things that David did, and they speak powerfully to the darkest experiences of our life. Weep, trust, pray, and worship. You know, the Bible speaks to the worst in life as well as the best. Yeah. And we're going to see how God stands with us on the darkest days of our lives.
All right, grab your Bible. Join us in 2 Samuel chapter 15 as we continue the message, Conspiracy. Here is Pastor Colin.
Today, as we follow the story in chapter 15, there are really three characters. One is a deceiver, that's Absalom. Another is a deserter, that's a man by the name of Ahithophel. And then we're going to look at a disciple, a man by the name of Ittai. So if you have your Bible open, we begin at chapter 15 and verse 6. The deceiver, Absalom. Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. In other words, Absalom took something that didn't belong to him, the loyalty of God's people. And he did this through a massive deception that he carried out on the people of God over a period of no less than 3 years. Beware of the person who pretends to be something they are not, who affirms every grievance, who promises what they clearly cannot deliver, and presents him or herself as being the answer. There's a profile of a deceiver right there in 2 Samuel and chapter 15. Now with that, let's come to the second of these characters in this story, a man by the name of Ahithophel. And as Absalom was the deceiver, Ahithophel was the deserter. And while Absalom was offering the sacrifices, this is down now in Hebron, he sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city Gilo. Now, this man, Ahithophel, was very significant in the story because he was David's most trusted advisor. In fact, in chapter 16 and verse 23, we read these extraordinary words that in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. I mean, when he spoke, it was consistently an expression of God's truth. This man was a fountain of biblical wisdom, and he was deceived into joining Absalom in his great rebellion. Wow. Why did Ahithophel go over to Absalom? Ahithophel had a son whose name was Eliam. And Eliam had a daughter whose name was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. So Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And it seems very clear then that one effect of David's sin was that he lost the confidence and he lost the support of his most trusted advisor. And when Absalom called on Ahithophel, clearly Ahithophel was not in Jerusalem. He was not with David. He had by that time returned to his own hometown, this place called Gilo. And when Absalom called, Ahithophel responded, and the king's trusted counselor got swept up also in this great rebellion. Now, this seems to have been a critical turning point, or we might say today even a tipping point, in Absalom's great uprising. Because when Ahithophel came over, it is then that we read that, verse 12, the conspiracy grew strong, and the people with Absalom kept increasing. In other words, it seems people reasoned when they saw that even Ahithophel was with Absalom. Well, if he's with Absalom, then clearly, I mean, he's the fount of biblical wisdom, isn't he? We need to be with Absalom as well, which gives us this very important application. There is a huge responsibility that comes with every calling in leadership. If people look to you as a leader or as a counselor or as a teacher or as a discipler or as a mentor, the choices that you make will shape the lives of others as well as your own. And clearly, Ahithophel's choice was a tipping point that led to a whole crowd of people who saw him as someone that they would follow and trust, and off they went like sheep to the slaughter and followed after Absalom as well. And what follows in the story is a scene of great, great pain and of sadness. Verse 13. A messenger came to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom." That must have been a dagger to David's heart. And David knew what that meant. His own son would come after him seeking his life. It was inevitable. And so verse 14, David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise, let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom." Then we're told in verse 23, and this is very significant in the flow of the story of the Bible, that the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed towards the wilderness. Verse 30 is one of the saddest scenes in all of the Bible. David went up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. This is the head that had worn a crown. And he walks barefoot up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he goes, the city behind him, driven out from the place of his own calling and the place where he's been so blessed. And it's at this point that we have a wonderful glimpse of what faithfulness looks like. We're told, verse 15, that the king's servants said to the king, "Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides." So clearly there were a group of servants and a wider circle of people who were wonderfully loyal to David in his darkest day. But particular attention is drawn to the loyalty of one man, a man by the name of Ittai, a man who was a Gittite, which means that he was a citizen or an inhabitant of the town of Gath, which was one of the five Philistine cities. In other words, Ittai was not an Israelite. But this man had pledged his loyalty to David, along with about 600 others of whom he was the leader. And evidently this had happened years earlier when David had spent some time in this town of Gath. And it's very moving that as the group heads out on this trail of sadness, this mournful procession leaving Jerusalem, David stops and he has a word with this loyal man, Ittai. And he says, verse 20, in effect, "Ittai, why don't you and your men just go back to Gath? I mean, don't risk your lives here with us when you don't need to. Go home, he says, and God bless you. Now listen to the words of this faithful disciple, Ittai, in response. But Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." You love that. Here's this man who has a true love for David the king in his heart, and he says, "Whatever it costs, life or death, I'm with you, and I'm for you." Now, think about the position that David was in as he leaves Jerusalem at this point, and how hard it must have been for those who followed him, who really were, to use a New Testament phrase, taking up their cross and following God's anointed. David had lost his home and he had lost his job. He'd been pushed out of the work that God had called him to do. He had lost the affection of his own son. He had lost the confidence of his own people. He'd been made to flee from his own city, and he had to do so in order to save his own life. Now, you look at this story, and very clearly, some of you will have worked this out already, it anticipates in detail another story. The story of David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that story also, if you think about it, involves a deceiver and a deserter and a group of disciples. You remember that the Lord Jesus, when he came into the world, was opposed by the great deceiver who from the beginning sought to destroy him. And you remember that just like David, he was betrayed by a trusted friend from his inner circle. It was Ahithophel's desertion that caused such great pain in the heart of David. He refers to that in Psalm 41 as well. He says, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." He's referring to Ahithophel. And if those words sound familiar to you, it is because the Lord Jesus took them up and quoted exactly these words from this story at the Last Supper with reference to Judas. "The scripture will be fulfilled," Jesus said, referring to 2 Samuel 15. "He who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me." And after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." It's going to be Ahithophel all over again, is what Jesus says. And after he spoke these words at the Last Supper, where did he go? Jesus went across the brook Kidron. That's John chapter 18 and verse 1. And he goes up the Mount of Olives, and just a little way up that hill, there's a garden, and the name of that garden is Gethsemane. Like David, Jesus walked on the Mount of Olives. Like David, he was rejected by his own people. Like David, he wept on the Mount of Olives over the city of Jerusalem. He was not weeping over the rejection and what it would mean for him. He was weeping over what the rejection would mean for those who rejected him. And as striking as the parallels are, and they are extraordinary, there is perhaps even greater significance in the contrast. You see, Ittai and the others were faithful to David. We'll die with you. And they stood by their word. Peter said something similar, you know, "I'll follow you even if it costs my life." And then you remember what happened when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us when it came to Jesus, they all forsook him and fled. And then think about this. David is abandoning the city of Jerusalem in order to save his own life. Jesus comes out the Kidron, goes onto the Mount of Olives, prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then what happens? He goes back into the city where he is condemned and gives up his own life. When David lost everything because he was under the discipline of God for his own sins. And Jesus lost everything because he was under the judgment of God for our sins that were laid on him.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Conspiracy. It's part of a larger series on the life of David. And in this part of the series, we're looking at his troubles. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can come and you can listen at our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. It's also easy to listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. That's also free, and it makes it convenient to listen on demand, really, whenever it fits your schedule. You'll find the app at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, if you did join us a little bit late, we're in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 15, as we get back to our message called Conspiracy. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
Now, I want to end in these last few moments with this. We're at David's darkest hour, the lowest point, the hardest moment of his entire life. And I want you to see what David did at his darkest hour, where he faces all of this sorrow and all of this loss. And I want you to see very simply four things that you can do if you should face great darkness, when you should face great darkness, when you are confronted with sorrow and loss in your own life. What did David do, and what can you do? Number one, you can weep. David, verse 30, went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. And all who were with him, all who followed, they're sharing in the weeping as well. Please remember this, brother and sister. Times of darkness come to every Christian. And if for whatever reason you are facing a time of great darkness or loss, do not think that something strange or surprising is happening to you. And when you face that, you can weep. Number two, you can trust. David says, verse 25, if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it, that is the city, and his dwelling place. David knew that his future was in the hands of God. And he says, look, if God wants me back, God will bring me back. You can weep. You can trust. You can pray. You can pray. That's what David did. It was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. This must have been the news they didn't want to tell him and that he dreaded hearing. And David said, see what he did immediately when he gets the worst possible news? He reaches out to God in prayer. Oh God, oh Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. For David to lose the support of Ahithophel was bad enough, but for him to go over to the other side was 1,000 times worse. But here's where David finds his confidence as he prays. Okay, Ahithophel's on the other side. That's formidable. But God is greater than Ahithophel, and he trusts the friend who has betrayed him into the hands of God. And then there's one more thing that you can do in a time of darkness and of sorrow and of loss and of grief, and it's this. You can worship. You can weep, you can trust, you can pray, and you can worship. And you have that in verse 32. While David was coming to the summit where God was worshipped, Matthew Henry makes this comment, weeping must never hinder worshiping. I found that very striking. Weeping must never hinder worshiping. And David comes now to the top of the Mount of Olives, which is told to us there. That's the place or a place where God was worshipped. And I want to end by commending this to you. You can follow it up in your own time if you're interested to do so. There is one of the Psalms that we are particularly told was written when David was on the run from Absalom. At just this point, when he had to leave the city, on this awful day of darkness, it's Psalm number 3. And you have it at the heading. It was written at the time when David fled from Absalom, his son. It was at this point, 2 Samuel 15, in the story. And it is very likely then that when there is a reference in 2 Samuel to David reaching the place of worship on the top of the Mount of Olives, what worship did he offer God? I'm suggesting to you it was Psalm 3. That's when he wrote it, and that's why it says. This is what he said when he was on the run and fleeing from his son Absalom. So let me end with this. He says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, you are a shield around me. You are my glory. And you are the lifter up of my head. You know, the finest worship is offered in the darkest places. And there's no finer example than this. Picture David and this entourage behind him, and they reach the top of this hill. They've been weeping all the way, barefoot, heads covered, but they come and they say, we're going to worship God even here. And David, moved by the Spirit of God, comes out with Psalm 3 that's then recorded and preserved in the Bible even for us. Lord, I'm under all kinds of attack, but when I come under attack, you are my defense. You, O Lord, are a shield around me. And Lord, all the honor that I've known in my life, it's all gone. It's all been stripped away from me. There's no crown now, no robe on my back. There's just some cloth over my head. Not even shoes on my feet, but I want to tell you, Lord, you're my glory. The glory that goes with the kingship isn't what I put my trust in, and it's not what I'm looking to now. You're my glory. You're my reason for living. And here's this man who might easily drop down into the depths of a pit of depression, and what he says is, oh God, when I feel at my lowest point, you're the one that comes and you lift up my head. And that's the worship that he offers to God on the top of the Mount of Olives, I'm suggesting to you, recorded for us to the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, on the basis that God is my shield, and God is my glory, and God is the lifter up of my head, on that basis, David says, I lay down and slept. Isn't that amazing? And I will not be afraid though thousands come against me. There are deceivers, there are deserters, and there are disciples. And if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, even on your darkest day, you will be able to say with David, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my glory, the Lord is the lifter up of my head. And on the darkest day of your life, you will be able to say, the Lord will sustain me. I will not be afraid.
A helpful look today at what we do when we face some of the most difficult seasons of our lives. We can weep, trust, pray, and worship. You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, and our message today is called Conspiracy. It's part of a larger series on the life of David. If you miss any broadcast in the series, you can come and you can listen at our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, every year at Open the Bible, we take a look back at what have been the most listened to messages of the past year. What have been the ones that you've streamed or downloaded or requested? And we take those top 10 and we put them together in a series called Listener Favorites. And some of the topics that are addressed in the series include, what do you do when you feel like giving up? How God restores and how to overcome fears? We'd love to send you a copy of the series, Listener Favorites, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online when you come to openthebible.org. Or call us at 877-673-6365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 877-OPEN-365. Well, thanks for doing that, and thanks for listening today. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Satan lurks behind every lie and false accusation. Find out how on the next Open the Bible Weekend.